You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Why Did Jesus Die? And now here is Dr. Schultz.
Of all the trials in human history, none has had greater consequences. With this statement, Time magazine was not referring to the widely publicized trial of O.J. Simpson. Time magazine was here referring to the greatest courtroom event in all of history, the trial and the execution of Jesus Christ. No trial in the last 2,000 years is better known, and no trial has ever been more widely discussed than the trial of Jesus. This secular magazine author then simply stated the hard facts of history. He wrote, "In Jerusalem, in April of either the year 30 or 33, Jesus of Nazareth was arrested. He was hauled before a religious court, tried by a Roman governor, sentenced to death, and then crucified." Now, most people would probably agree that there was indeed such a man called Jesus, and that this Jesus was nailed to the cross. But very few people ask the question, why? Why was Jesus crucified? And maybe you also, as you hear this message today, maybe you have never really thought it all through. Why did Jesus die? And what does the death of Jesus Christ mean to you today? Secular writers may struggle with the question, why was Jesus crucified? The Bible, however, gives a straightforward, a direct, and a very clear answer. In his first epistle, the Apostle Peter writes that Jesus Christ on the cross bore our sins in his body. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying a penalty for sin. The penalty Jesus was paying, however, was not a penalty for his own failures, because, you see, Jesus Christ never sinned. Even Pontius Pilate, the chief Roman prosecutor at the trial, after he had examined Jesus, then turned to the angry lynch mob and said, "I find no guilt in this man." And the repentant thief on the cross confessed, "We are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." The cruel and the bloody death of Jesus on the cross was the price our Savior paid for our frequent failures. And when Jesus died, his body and blood was the supreme and eternal sacrifice for our sins. And when Jesus willingly gave up his life, this death was accepted by God the Father as a full and complete payment for the sins of all mankind. The prophet Isaiah writes that God looked down at the sufferings of his Son, and he was satisfied. Oh, this is the good news of the gospel of God, and although I don't know most of those of you who are listening to me, I can imagine that your life, my friend, has not been what God would like it to be. And maybe even you would admit that your life has not been what you would like it to be. There is, however, still hope for you, and your hope is in the sin-atoning death of Jesus and his life-giving resurrection. You don't need to have your parents, and you don't need to have your children or your relatives or your neighbors tell you that you have sinned and often failed. You know this in the privacy of your own heart. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sin. And because of your sins and failures, your heart now cries out for help. Your guilty conscience will not let you alone. My friend, you need God's living and life-giving and healing word to assure your heavy heart that Jesus has been your substitute. Jesus Christ has gone to the cross to die in your place, and he has paid the penalty. He has paid the price that you should have paid. In his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul so beautifully explains this good news of the gospel of help and hope when he says that in Jesus we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. And oh, how our society today needs the riches of God's grace, the fullness of His forgiveness, and the blessed assurance of eternal hope. Last June, the New York Times reported the statistics produced by a major research organization regarding the American family. One half of all children in our society now no longer live with the blessings of a traditional family. And this situation is now becoming a great concern even among secular social specialists. These statistics are indeed disturbing. Of course, there are also some liberal social planners who are trying to put a more positive spin on these chilling but brutally true statistics. They are trying to say, yes, they are trying to say that it is not necessary for children to be raised with both a father and a mother. Recent studies on disrupted families, however, show that children raised in single-parent homes are at a decided disadvantage. In a front-page article, July 14, 1993, the New York Times reports that the bulk of social science research now indicates that children growing up in single-parent families have more educational problems, more financial problems, and more emotional problems than those raised by two parents. But what is even more disturbing is that these alarming figures, reflecting the breakdown of the family and the home, are only the tip of the iceberg. The countless casualties of broken homes and the many victims of destroyed marriages, if you could look into their hearts, you would see something even more devastating. You would see great burdens of guilt that weigh heavy on their hearts every hour. This burden of guilt, of involvement in one way or another in a dysfunctional family, is oftentimes more than people can bear. For these casualties of our modern self-serving society, and many of them are innocent victims, the question of why Jesus died is not academic. It is not theoretical. For the family, for the husband or the wife who is burdened with the guilt of past mistakes and failures, the question, why did Jesus die, is a very practical question. And the answer that the Bible gives is neither warmed-over church dogma nor irrelevant philosophical religious speculation. Jesus died to give those who have failed a second chance. Jesus died on the cross to assure all those who confess and repent of their sins that there is complete and perfect forgiveness for failure. In Jesus Christ, the past is over. The slate of life's failures is wiped clean, and in Jesus Christ, there is a blessed opportunity, by the grace of God, for a totally new start. National newspapers, prestigious publications, and secular social specialists may argue endlessly as to why Jesus died. The Bible, however, simply states that God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this salvation was the result, the blessed outcome, of Jesus' voluntary death. In the cross of Christ and the death of Christ is our only hope. Stop for just a moment and look at our society. It is a mess. Read about even the many congressmen who have said that they will not run for another term in the U.S. Congress. Many of them have decided this simply because of their frustrations. They thought that through their tireless efforts, society might be improved. And yet, even with massive government spending and an endless litany of new laws, society seems not to be becoming better, but only worse. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul says, all of creation groans and suffers. The Bible says all of creation is waiting to be redeemed and to be released from the curse of sin. The mess of society and the confusion in families and the inevitable burdens of guilt, these are all a direct result of the curse of sin. The Bible explains that in the beginning, God created a perfect world. He established the Garden of Eden. In this garden, God placed Adam and Eve, and after some time, however, a great tragedy occurred. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and because you and I were in Adam's seed, we also participated, the Bible teaches, in Adam's sin of rebellion. And through this participation, all of us are now responsible for failures in families and failures in our society. Oh, yes, I know, this is not very encouraging. In fact, it is downright depressing. this situation in our society and in our families today. And yet there is hope. In the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, "Since by one man came death, by one man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." This then is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus is our hope because through his death and his resurrection, we both bury our past failures and are empowered to start anew. And this is also why baptism is so important today. Baptism is not some mere teaching of man. Baptism is ordained and commanded by God. Jesus said, "Go into the whole world and baptize." And the importance of baptism is found not in human wisdom, but in God's holy word. Listen to the words of the Bible, Romans chapter 6. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore," the Bible says, "we have been buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we, through baptism, have become united with Jesus in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Jesus died to give sinners hope. Jesus died so that guilt-ridden parents and conscience-burdened husbands and wives and guilt-racked mothers and fathers might have a clean slate and a second chance in life and a solid hope in the hour of death. By the miracle of radio, this gospel message of Jesus' death and resurrection is now coming to countless anxious ears and troubled hearts. Linger no longer, my friend, with the agony of uncertainty. By simple faith, connect solidly with God. By faith, receive his grace, even though you have sinned often, and even though in the privacy of your heart you frequently feel like such a failure. Know at this hour that there is perfect forgiveness for you in the death of Christ. In God's sight, the death of Jesus is a full and complete payment for all of your many sins and frequent failures. And so, instead of agonizing privately over your past failures, and instead of limiting the joy of your life by holding in your heart tons of grief and remorse, instead, rejoice. Yes, rejoice that God has accepted you, not for what you have done for him, but for what Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has done for you. The Bible teaches clearly that Jesus was delivered up. Yes, he was nailed to the cross for our offenses and our sins, and he was raised again on the third day for our justification. Your sins are completely paid for, every one of them. God is now offering you a clean slate and a new and a second chance to start over. God fervently desires also to enable you and to empower you unto a new life of faith and hope. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him, my friend. This is your hour to start anew, to have great joy and to put the past behind you. And in spite of all the challenges and uncertainties you are now facing, to launch ahead in life with boldness and confidence and courage. Do this. Turn over a new leaf today. Start anew with faith in Jesus Christ, and God will indeed enable you. And as you do this, standing solidly on the promises of God, say also with confidence and courage the words of the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." May God grant you this confidence and courage in your Savior. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.